Prem Shikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adwaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakti Vrindakija Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopina Shri Mukunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Kija Vrindavan Dhamma Kija Matur Dhamma Kija Navadvip Mayapur Dhamma Kija Jagannath Puri Dhamma Kija Gangamai Dhamuna Devi Kija Bhakti Devi Kija Tulsi Maharani Kija Samaveta Bhakti Vrindakija Gaur Premanam. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale. Sri Nate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Dip. Gauravani Pachani Namaste Sasanyana Vaskadhyaya Satana. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamascha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Stam Sajiva Sadvaitam Sapaditam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Vita Shri Vishakam Vitamascha Panchakalpatumascha Kripasindhi Vitapaditam Pravaneva Vaishnavamascha Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. November 23rd, 2016. In Chennai, India, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Brahma's Prayers to Lord Krishna, Text 11. Vaham tamo maharaham kakarak nivargu. Samves titanda gata sapta vitastikaya. Vedrik vidhave ganitanda paranujarya. Vatva dvamoma vivarasya chate mahitvam. Kwa, where, aham, I, tamaha, the material nature. Mahat, the total material energy. Aham, false ego. Kwa, either. Chara, air. Agni, fire. Vaha, water. Earth. Samveshtita, surrounded by. Andagata, a pot-like universe. Sapta Vitashti, seven spans, Kayaha, body, Kwa, where, Idrik, such, Vita, like, Aviganita, unlimited, Anda, universes, Para Anu, like the atomic dust, Charya, moving, Vata Advidva, air holes, Roma, of hair on the body, Vivar Asya, of the holes, Cha, also, Te, your, Mahitram, greatness. And this translation in purport is actually by Srila Prabhupada, even though it's in the chapter after Prabhupada's last translations, because the BBT translators used Prabhupada's translation from Krishna book, and then they use Prabhupada's purport from Chaitanya Charitamrita and from Krishna book. So this is Prabhupada's translation and purport. Translation. What am I? A small creature measuring seven spans of my own hand. I am enclosed in a blood-like universe composed of material nature, the total material energy, false ego, ether, air, water, and earth. And what is your glory? Unlimited universes pass through the pores of your body, just as particles of dust pass through the openings of a screened window. Purport. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 5, Text 72,
Srila Prabhupada gives the following purport for this verse. When Lord Brahma, after having stolen all Krishna's cows and cowherd boys, returned and saw that the cows and boys were still roaming with Krishna, he offered this prayer in his defeat. A conditioned soul, even one so great as Brahma, who manages the affairs of the entire universe, cannot compare to the personality of Godhead, for he can produce numberless universes simply by the spiritual rays emanating from the pores of his body. Material scientists should take lessons from the utterances of Sri Brahma regarding our insignificance in comparison with God. In these prayers of Brahma, there is much to learn for those who are falsely puffed up by the accumulation of power. In Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, chapter 14, Srila Prabhupada further comments on this verse. Lord Brahma realized his actual position. He is certainly the supreme teacher of this universe, in charge of the production of material nature, which consists of the complete material elements, false ego, sky, air, fire, water, and earth. Such a universe may be gigantic, but it can be measured, just as we measure our body as seven spans. Generally, everyone's personal bodily measurement is calculated to be seven spans of his hand. This particular universe may appear to be a very gigantic body, but it is nothing but the measurement of seven spans from Lord Brahma. So that's the end of Prabhupada's purpose to this verse. Going on. Aside from this universe, there are unlimited other universes outside the jurisdiction of this particular Lord Brahma. Just as innumerable atomic infinitesimal fragments pass through the holes of a screen window, so millions and trillions of universes in their seedling form are coming out from the bodily pores of Mahavishnu, and that Mahavishnu is but a part of the plenary expansion of Krishna. Under these circumstances, although Lord Brahma is a supreme creature within this universe, what is his importance in the presence of Lord Krishna? What am I? A small creature measuring seven spans of my own hand. I am enclosed in a pod-like universe composed of material nature, the total material energy, false ego, ether, air, water, and earth. And what is your glory? Unlimited universes pass through the pores of your body, just as particles of dust pass through the openings of a screen window. So this is a natural reaction of a high-class person to being defeated. When a low-class person is defeated, they become very angry. They criticize the person who defeated them, and they keep fighting to win. We see this with Kamsa. Kamsa sent so many demons to kill Krishna, and every time Krishna killed the demon. But Kamsa just sent another demon. And finally, Kamsa said, bring Krishna here and we will kill him. We see this with Ravana, right? Ravana had his sons, one after another. What was that? Kampan, right? Was killed. And then again, even up to Indrajit, Kumbhakarna. And still, Ravana kept sending more and more sons and brothers to be killed. Even he finally went to fight himself. When Vibhishan surrendered to Lord Ramchandra, so the monkeys were not so eager to accept Vibhishan. And Ram said, if Ravana himself would come and surrender, I would accept him. But Ravana's mood when he was defeated over and over and over, even Ravana came on the battlefield before the end, and Ram defeated him. And then he simply went back to his castle and he planned how to attack Ram again. So this is the general mood of the conditioned soul. When we see that we are small, when we see that we are ineffective, when we see how insignificant we are, how little control we have, generally we fight. No, I'm important. I'm very important. Don't you see how important I am? And I am right, and I will win. Usually the conditioned soul is like this. But if somebody is high class, then they acknowledge that they are defeated. And just like we're studying in Manashiksha, Raghunath Das Goswami says that one should have love for the process of surrender to the youthful couple of Raja. What are we surrendering? We are surrendering our pride. We are surrendering our inflated idea, Prabhupada would say puffed up, our puffed up, inflated idea of our importance, which is just not true anyway. We are surrendering something that was never even true, that was never ours. It's like if I say, this is mine, and then I surrender it, but it was never mine. So this idea that I am big, I am important, I am always right. And Lord Brahma, if we think about this for a minute, he is the most important person in the universe, actually. He really is. I mean, I think I'm the most important person in the universe, but I'm not even the most important person in this room. But I'm thinking like that. I am the most important person in this universe. But Lord Brahma actually is. That is a fact. And Prabhupada is explaining here, the universe is like the body of Lord Brahma. Sometimes Lord Brahma is identified as Hiranyagarbha, or as the Supersoul. The universe is like his body. But when he's defeated, he immediately recognizes, I am not very important. If Lord Brahma is not very important, then how important are any of us? Of course, Lord Brahma is a jiva like us, but still he has a very big responsibility, much bigger than any of us have. We may have responsibility for our room, or for our family, or even for a project. Maybe we are managing dozens of people or hundreds of people. But how many jivas is Lord Brahma managing? You know, he's managing not only the 7 billion people on this planet, but all of the living entities on all of the planets in this universe, he's managing. More even than Yamaraj. Because Yamaraj is just taking care of the sinful people, but Lord Brahma is taking care of everyone. And still he says, I am nothing. I am a tiny creature. So it's very, we might wonder, why would somebody want to acknowledge how small and insignificant they are? All of us want to feel that what we are doing has meaning. Nobody wants to do something that is useless. One of the greatest needs of a developed entity in a human body or above is to think, what I do has value. Whether or not I am alive has value. I matter. I have some importance. And not only do we want to feel that what we have, what we do has value, we also want some acknowledgement from others that it has value. In fact, feeling that we have value to somebody else is one of the main components, psychologically speaking, of love. So it's very hard to understand what is love, but at least modern psychologists in studying it, they say it has three parts. They say you find the other fascinating.
You are interested in the other. I like to give the example. One time in Brazil, in my class, a mother was holding her little child, 1-month-old child. In the whole class, she's looking at the baby's toes. You know, the whole class just going looking at the toes. So the baby's toes are not so interesting, and the mother has seen these toes so many times. But because there is love, she's finding the toes fascinating. If you love somebody, you find them interesting. And the other thing is you find them valuable. Because I may find something interesting, but I don't value it. Value it means it matters whether it's there or not there. We say to people, I miss you. When you're not here, I miss you. This morning I was really meditating on how Srila Prabhupada said that the main key for our Krishna consciousness is feeling separation from Krishna. Generally, we do not feel separation from Krishna. We feel separation from our food, maybe, our bed. We don't feel separation from Krishna. Feeling separation from Krishna means, Krishna, you are valuable to me. You're important. If I can't see you, it matters. Sunyayitam jagat sarvam govindavirhi. When you're not here, then everything is like empty. My house, my vehicle, my money, my family. It doesn't matter if you're not here. So this is the other part of love. And another part of love is, I am there for you. I know you are there for me, and I am there for you. Like Krishna says, my devotee will not be vanquished. I will protect my devotee. So we are all hankering after love. Not only to love, but to be loved, both. We are looking to love somebody, and we want somebody to love us. Now, if somebody loves us, that means they must find us fascinating. They must think that we have some value. And they must be our shelter. So this is the nature of the soul. We say, Jivara Swarupaya Krishna Nitya Dasa. If I am a Dasa, then Krishna is my master. He is my Prabhu. It's not a one-way relationship. It's a two-way relationship. It's not only that I am loving Krishna. Krishna is also loving me. So it is natural to want to feel that I am interesting, that I am valuable, and that I have shelter. That is natural for the soul. And how do we put that together with feeling I am so small? Therefore, we resist this idea of feeling I am so small. We don't like it. We're very afraid to meditate on how small we are, how insignificant we are, especially in comparison to Krishna, because we want love from Krishna. And if I am so small compared to Krishna, how can I expect that he will love me? I will be nothing to him. Lord Brahma is saying, the universes are like pieces of dust to you. Who of us takes care of a piece of dust? The pieces of dust are coming through our window. We don't even notice them. If this entire universe is a piece of dust, and this is a very small universe, then who am I to Krishna? But ironically, it is meditating on our insignificance that allows us to feel the love of Krishna. This is the irony. Irony means something opposite from what you expect. One would expect, if I think I am wonderful, and there are many people preaching like this. I don't know in India, but at least in the Western world, there are many pseudo-spiritual teachers, so-called spiritual teachers, and their main preaching is, you are wonderful, you are important. People are, or you, you know, it goes all the way to you are God. Because it's natural, we want to think this way. And who can imagine if you think, I am very small, I am nothing, nothing. If this universe is a piece of dust, then what am I? If the whole universe is a piece of dust from Mahavishnu, and Mahavishnu is a portion of Krishna, then what am I? On one planet in this universe, you look in the star, of course here you have so much air pollution, you cannot see any stars. But I have a home in Hawaii, and there you can see more stars. We have some of the most important astronomical observatories in the world. Not only are they high up on the mountain of Mauna Kea, but also the atmosphere is such there that it's not, the atmosphere is not so thick. You can see the stars, especially when you go up the mountain. So when we travel over the mountain, you see so many stars. And we are just one tiny, tiny planet. And on this planet, there's 7 billion people. 7 billion. And I am just one. What is my meaning? And I live for like this long. Not only are these universes coming out of the pores of the Mahavishnu, Roma, Yakara and Arnava Jalay Bhajati Sma Yoga Nidra Mananta Jagadanda Saram Kupa Adhara Shakti Mavalambhya Param Swamati Asyaika Nisvati Tikala Matavalambhya Jivanti Loma Vilaja Jagadanda Nata Vishnu Mahansa Iha Yasya Kala Vishishu. Lord Vishnu is breathing, and he breathes out. The universes come out and expand, and he breathes in, and they're all finished. And in that breath, this whole universe is existing. Lord Brahma doesn't even live for the whole time of the universe, because he's manifest somewhat into the creation. And this lifetime of ours in Kali Yuga, one devotee has calculated, is 8 billionths of a second for Lord Brahma, my whole lifetime. So I'm on a speck, on a speck, on a speck. And I have this life of 8 billionths of a second. And in this lifetime, I'm trying to get fame and money and influence. And who cares for each of us? I ask all the time in so many places, how many people know the names of all of their great-great-grandparents? Any of you know the names of your great-great-grandparents? It's nicely explained with Prahlad Maharaj, how he liberated 21 generations. And Prabhupada explains, and our acharyas explain, that this cannot be in one lifetime. Because in one lifetime we don't know 21 generations. And he's liberating family members out of attachment. Just like Srila Prabhupada, when we first met him in 1974, and my father asked, he says, I'm not coming to see Krishna, I'm coming to see my daughter and my son-in-law. Is that okay? And Prabhupada said, yes. He said, they are loving Krishna. And I thought, I am not loving Krishna. Prabhupada said, chanting and dancing are symptoms of loving Krishna. He said, so they are loving Krishna, and you are loving them. So two things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. So Prabhupada was telling my father, because your daughter and son-in-law are devotees, if you love them, you will also be a devotee. So like that, with Prahlad Maharaj's family, because they loved him, therefore they were getting liberated. But 21 generations cannot love him because they don't know him. So therefore it said this is in many lifetimes, because in each lifetime only 3 or 4 generations do we know.
It's the same with all of us. I know my grandparents. Maybe I know my great-grandparents a little bit. But great-great, I don't even know their names. This means that our great-great-grandchildren will not know our names. I am here with one of my grandchildren. This means her grandchildren will not know my name. Even sometimes my grandchildren ask me, "What was your mother's name again?" I don't remember it. And that is our family. That is our own family. When we die, our whole life will be two or three sentences in the newspaper. You know? Mr. So-and-so died. He survived by his wife and two children. Funeral is at 2 o'clock. And that is all. Maybe something, you know, he was electrical engineer. That's all. For the whole life. If you are a big, big person in ISKCON, we will give you one paragraph in Back to God It magazine. If you are really, really big, we will give you a whole article, 2,500 words, for a whole life. And even in the devotees in your community, they will talk, they will have a festival so they can eat gulab jamuns. And they will say something about you. I remember when Purnachandra Maharaj left this planet. So he started the Shastric Advisory Council, and he invited me on as one of the original members. I think I only met him two or three times, but I worked with him for many years as part of the council. And he also had me edit his book, Unspoken Obstacles on the Path of Devotion. And when his ashes were being put into samadhi in Vrindavan, they invited me to come to the program. But nobody invited me to speak. They were only inviting the sannyasis. And the sannyasis were getting up and saying, "I never met him. I didn't know him, but I will speak about him." And I was thinking, you don't know him and you're speaking about him, and I work with him and I cannot speak about him. And I thought, this is the way of the world. When my father died, we were going to the cemetery, and the religious leader who was going to speak, we were getting out of the car, and he pulls me aside and says, "Tell me something about your father that I can say." Same kind of thing. I thought, you're going to speak about him and you didn't even know him. So we're thinking, I'm so important. But this is all rubbish. It's just rubbish. If we die tomorrow, practically nobody in the world will even notice. Satsuma Maharaj writes about this, how when he got very sick, he saw life just went on. The world didn't stop. We see this, right? We get sick, everybody keeps eating, everybody keeps sleeping. Nobody is affected. Maybe one or two people for a little bit. But we are nothing. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati said, "How can you reform the world? We want to make a difference in the world." Modi, he's thinking, if I take away all the 1,000 rupee notes, I will stop corruption. But Bhaktisiddhanta says, the world is already being managed by somebody, and you cannot make any difference. You can be an instrument of the divine, but you cannot really change anything. He said, you cannot change anything, even one hair. And then in comparison, what is the Lord? What is the Lord? He's, by a part, he's breathing out uncountable universes. He's expanding himself in every atom. Eko pisorachaitam jagadantakoti yat chaktirasti jagadantachayati andantarasta paramanu chayantarasta. So in every atom there's Krishna. And inside Krishna there's a universe. Let's see if we can think about this for a minute. Okay, so in every atom,
in the floor, and here in every atom, there's Krishna. You got that? Everybody got that? There's Krishna in every atom. Then inside Krishna, there's all the universes. Then in the universes, there's so many atoms. In every atom, there's Krishna. Is that possible? How can Krishna be inside every atom of the universe when the universe is inside Krishna? How great is he? Therefore we say, Vedeshu Durlabhama Durlabhama Pabhakta. We cannot understand just a chincha. He's unlimitedly expanded, Ananta Rupam, unlimited forms. With no past, present, or future, simultaneously engaging in unlimited pastimes with unlimited jivas and unlimited universes. And he is the center. He is the most important. He thinks something and it happens. He dreams this world and it comes into being. His dream is reality. His thought is reality. He is everywhere and he is everything. So how does knowing these two things, how small and meaningless and insignificant I am, and how great Krishna is, why does that bring joy instead of depression? Because Krishna loves each of us, not because we are objectively important, but causelessly. In fact, love has to be causeless. If you love someone because they are a big person, then you are not really loving them. Therefore, we say the highest prema is in Vrindavan, where the devotees there do not see Krishna as God. They see Krishna as one of the village boys. I mean, he's Nandamarja's son, he's the prince, but still. They don't see him as God. Nandamarja, Mother Yasoda, they're praying, please, Narayan, protect Krishna. Mother Yasoda is saying, Rupa Goswami says to Krishna when he goes to the pasturing ground, you wear this Nisinga kavacha and it will protect you if any demons come. And Rupa Goswami says, Krishna is trying not to smile. And Mother Yasoda is saying, remember Nisinga Dev, he's going. And Rupa Goswami says, may Krishna's suppressed smile protect you. So they are loving Krishna just because. Not because he's opulent, not because he's powerful, not because he's famous, just because. It's causeless. And Krishna loves each of us just because. Because we're part of him. That's all. Not because we're important. Not because our living or dying will make any change in the world or the universe. Even when Lord Brahma dies, Krishna can create another Lord Brahma. Hare Krishna. And this, my friends, should give us great joy. We don't have to earn Krishna's love. We cannot. What are we going to give him? A flower? Seriously, Krishna, please love me because of this flower. I mean, this is a joke. Please love me because I am chanting all day, I am reading all day, I am serving the devotee. It's laughable. Krishna already loves us. We don't have to do anything to earn his love. We don't have to become anything to earn his love. We can never be so fallen that we are bereft of his love. There's no state we can be in that Krishna doesn't love us with everything. Materially, if I have many children, how can I love all of them with everything? The children will want to know who is the favorite. I read about this one man when he died. He had, I don't know, 4 or 5 children. And then they told each other, you know, Daddy always said I was the favorite. Turned out he said to each of the children, shh, don't tell your brothers and sisters you are the favorite. But it cannot be. The parent has to divide the love. This is why Mahaprabhu cursed those girls. If you don't give me your offerings, you will have co-wives. They didn't like that because then the love is divided. But with Krishna, it's not like that. Please try to understand this. Krishna gives himself fully to every single jiva. How can he do that? Om purnam adha purnam idam purnat purnat udachate purnasya purnam adaya purnam eva vasishyate. If you take unlimited, if you have infinity minus infinity, you have infinity. Krishna loves you infinitely, and he loves you infinitely, and you, and you, and all of us, he loves infinitely. And everybody is loved infinitely. When Krishna is sitting among the cowherd boys, each cowherd boy sees, Krishna's looking at me. I cannot do that. If I'm looking at you, then I don't see you. And I certainly don't see you. And even if I see you, I have to turn my head. But the cowherd boys were seeing, Krishna's facing me. And he's just looking at me. Each gopi is feeling, Krishna's only dancing with me. When the gopis put their cloth on by the bank of the Jamuna, Krishna's only sitting with me. Krishna loves me just because he loves me. And to Krishna, just think about this for a minute. He's in our heart, Hridesha Junatistati. This means he hears every single thing we are thinking. And he knows every single thing we are doing. There is no other jiva who even cares. If you go to another jiva and you say, let me tell you what I did today, they will listen to you for 3 or 4 minutes and then they will become bored. Isn't that a fact? Krishna is aware of everything we do and everything we think and everything we say. He cares. And the tiniest, tiniest little action that we do in devotion to him, giving him a little flower, he says, aw, thank you. Not because he cares about the flower, but he cares about the exchange. Now the interesting thing is we can only appreciate this love of the Lord when we also appreciate how insignificant we are. Because if we think we are important, then we don't understand that Krishna's loving me for me. We don't really appreciate Krishna's love. We can't feel Krishna's love. The reason we can't feel Krishna's love is if we think we are so important. If we think it's some kind of a business exchange between me and the Lord. But as soon as I realize I cannot do any business exchange with the Lord, it's like I'm going to do a business exchange with Bill Gates. I mean, this is just ridiculous. But if I give that up completely, let go of it completely, I am nothing but you love me. Not because of anything I do, but because you are who you are. And I have value because I belong to you and you belong to me. I have value out of your kindness. I have value out of your love. That you, my dear Krishna, you are fascinated by me, by me. A nothing, a speck on a speck on a speck on a speck. And you find me valuable, you find me important. You find me so important, you will stay in my heart and you stay with me forever and you say, Suridam, you are my friend. And you think I am so important that you give me shelter, you care for me, you are there for me when I need you, when I call on you, you are there. And you tell me that I will never perish and I will always have your protection. How great you are. That you care about, that you notice, that you protect even the smallest of the small. Isn't that how we know a great person? The great person makes sure the lowest servants are happy. Isn't that a fact? If they're a great person, they don't just take care of the VVIPs, they take care of the toilet cleaners also. They take care of the little bugs. Shrutikirti tells the story that Prabhupada rang his bell in the middle of the night. And he said, there's a little bug, it's been here for a long time. I don't think it has any food, it must be hungry. Can you put it outside so it gets some food? This is a great person. The leper, Vasudeva. And he had the sores in his body, and he had maggots in his sores. And when they would fall out, he would say, you're not going to get your food. And he would put them back on his body. This is a great person. And Krishna is so great, he is so great, that he genuinely, actually, really, truly loves each of us. And we can only appreciate his love when we also appreciate our insignificance. And that is the irony. If I want to feel important and valued and sheltered, which we all do, then I must realize that I am completely, totally, absolutely insignificant. And I am important and valued and sheltered only because of love. And this fills us with such joy and such peace and such relief that we never care about getting any false importance or value in the world. So questions, comments? Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.